And there we are. We are live, everyone. Welcome. Good evening. Welcome to Big D After Dark. Welcome to our FC Dallas live stream show where we talk about FC Dallas, break down results, cover the latest news, transfer rumors, and just anything else that you all want to put out there. You FC Dallas fans, hope you're joining us on Facebook, on Twitch, or on YouTube. And we have a lot to talk about because we actually, for once, had a really positive weekend. And so, as usual, I'm the host here, Nathan, at Nathan J. Hill on Twitter. You can also see there in the middle our good buddy Jose at El Chico Carmona.
Hello.
And then there in the end, Ben Lyon at Bird Turgler on Twitter.
Good evening.
All right, good. As we get going, please share a chat, comment, question, thought, reflection, anything you have, a reaction, a hot take from this past week of action. Of course, we had Colorado, the Colorado match, which was a disappointment, but then FC Dallas was able to come home and take care of business at home with a good 4-0 win over the Los Angeles Galaxy. So it was a nice change of pace for FC Dallas and a big performance for a young guy like Ricardo Pepi. So we're going to talk about that a little bit, but let's just start with the bigger picture here. FC Dallas defeats LA again 4-0. It wasn't a full strength LA squad, but neither was this was a full strength FC Dallas squad. Huge result at home. Is the playoff push a possibility? We just checked a 580 sports tracking percentile, whatever thing about playoff possibilities.
Five 538, 538.
538. Thank you, 538. And they have FC Dallas about 19% chance of making the playoffs. So a few more results in their favor that will tick up. They're not out of it completely, but it's going to be a tough slog. So let's just talk about first about this victory. Jose, and then Ben, just give me your reaction from this big home win.
It's looks like the team's finally coming together. They even at home they haven't looked very, in sync, and there was some changes. Some everyone knew that this was an attacking team they put out there, with Pax on the right wing and Shun on the left wing, Pepe up top, which made everybody happy, of course. And then, of course, Ricard to play alongside Quinón. And yeah, I mean, and they didn't look so hot to begin with, but it looks like they grew into it and they just simply got better and better and better. And that's really, with such a young lineup, that's what you want to see. You want to see a team that grows into it. So I think there was a lot of positives across the board. Even the guys and stuff didn't look good. So, I mean, and let's face it, we've always criticized Lucci for his subs, and this time he got it right. You got the lead, take out your scorers, bring in your defensive-minded players. So, I mean, I think everything went great, and I think the first I want to say it's the first home win where we all were very happy across the board, and hopefully we'll see more of this at home anyway going forward.
That's great. Ben, what did you think about the victory?
Oh, whenever I saw the lineup, well, first off, I was glad to know that I would be able to enjoy the game on Saturday night instead of like seeing the lineup and then just doing something else. So that was a good start. The first 20 minutes or so was kind of shaky, a little nerve-wracking, but the midfield kind of got their act together, and then Ricarte plays in Player of the Week, Ricardo Pepi, with a sweet ball to get things rolling. And they just never really let up after, which is great. I mean, like if you want to read tea leaves there, maybe they were lacking in a little bit of confidence before getting that first goal. If you want to say that, then I wouldn't be prone to argue with you, because they looked really, mm-hmm. really, really mm-hmm. good after the first goal. They looked like they were going to score more goals. And, you know, having an effective nine in the game, always going to be helpful with that. The other thing I want to note, Brian Acosta article, is that they scored off their second set piece of the season, courtesy of service from Jesus Ferreira. So,
interesting.
Brian Acosta's coming back this week, and I really hope he can start taking all the corners and free kicks again.
I got a feeling they'll have they'll keep him on one side just to piss you off, Ben. he'll take like all the right corners. Well,
maybe Jesus' success will push Brian. I mean, I think that's kind of the hope, at least. You know, yeah, I mean, for Ben, I live on the East Coast, but I'm here visiting family in Central Time Zone, so we came down for a night to see friends and do have some fun in Dallas. And to go to the game, I was feeling very much nervous. I was hoping, like, let's hope we don't embarrass ourselves. It has been ugly lately. And then I saw the lineup too, and I agree with Ben that like it lifted my spirits to see Pepe starting up top, Frank O'Hara sitting on the bench, to see Shum get rolled out, see Paxton again getting a nice run. But I liked Ricarte in the middle. I just think, having two defensive-minded guys may make sense on the road, at least to a degree. But at home, you've got to unlock the defenses. You can expect your opponents to try to counter in a bunker and to protect a draw. So it was good. It was an exciting thing.
You had a nightmare the night before that they were going to roll out total garbage and get blown out of the water, and Lucci was going to get shit-canned.
I had a dream that I was like working on an article about who's going to replace Lucci, candidates to replace Lucci. And I'm glad I don't have to deal with that. But I agree with you, Ben. The first 15, 20 minutes look kind of like the team that we had seen over this past few weeks that just struggled to keep the ball and advance the ball forward, get into attacking position. It just wasn't clicking. There were missed opportunities. But then you get that first goal, and that first goal sort of – it came off a little bit of a deflection by the defender. I mean, it was almost a little bit of a lucky bounce to us for once. How many of those have gone to our opponents? And Pepe just coolly and calmly put it away. A heck of a game. So much fun to be there to watch that and to watch Ricardo Pepe do his thing.
Well, the one thing I really liked on that play from Ricarte is, you know, he played himself out of pressure to create himself enough space to make that pass. And, you know, Williams got his back heel on the ball. I don't know whether that would have mattered or not if he didn't make contact, because Pepe's run had beat the offside trap, and he looked like he was in a general vicinity where at least he would have had a chance to.
Yeah.
You know, on that, I want to add one thing that I think stood out from this match that I don't think we've really seen for maybe not at any point in the season, maybe once or twice, but ask yourself this, you know, our best playmakers are Ricarte, Paxton, Jesus, you know, whichever order you want to place them. When's the last time we had two of them, just two of them starting together in a match? I mean, we rarely start two of them, and it puts so much pressure on one that it's so easy for defenses to target. Hey, they got Ricarte. Let's follow Ricarte left and right. There's nobody else then. If Jesus is out there, okay, let's follow Jesus. And it's been so easy for defense to simply single target where our playmakers. But in this case, you had Ricarte, you had Paxton. At first, I wasn't happy that Paxton was on the right, but hey, it worked. And then you had Jesus. And Shun added to that he showed that playmaking ability that we haven't seen from him. And it was like, whoa, we have four guys out there that can create. At least, you know, that we're being aggressive and trying to create. And who do you key on? And I think that's what made that Ricarte, that beautiful play, because in previous matches, there's two, three guys on him. Or he's getting, you know.
That's right.
and you, they couldn't key on one guy. And this is very exciting. I mean, I'm all for getting at least keeping at least three of those guys together at all times will go a long way towards making the attack a lot harder to solve.
I mean, Jose, Ben, don't remember earlier in the season we were talking and salivating about this idea of like of getting Ricarte and Paxton on the field at the same time and making teams have to work hard to spread around and lock down these guys. So yeah, I think it was an exciting lineup. Also, let's give some credit for once to this defense who have made stupid mistakes. It's frustrating mistakes, have experienced the unlucky bounces, all that kind of stuff that we can say, certainly dealing with injuries, but this was a complete game from them, from goalkeeper to the defensive mid to you know to the outside backs, to the center backs. You've seen a guy like Tafari grow each and every game. That was good. It was exciting to see. They deserved it, I think.
You know, I want to say that I kept reading the Twitter feed and people were just waiting for Brisson to allow a goal. They were like, oh my God, this is where Brisson allows a goal. And everybody's waiting for it. And it didn't happen. Brisson was just, of the back four, he probably had the worst game of the four, but he was more like a calming presence back there. He was like basically the guy, you know, marshaling the troops. He was basically playing the part of the captain and Tafari was the guy that was basically stopping everything. Well, in reality, it was Justin Che, believe it or not, who had a monster game. I mean, I don't think people realize he made team of the week. He had the most touches on the team. Mm-hmm. He had the most interceptions. He had the most tackles. I mean, this kid is just growing and growing and growing in confidence and comfort. And you're seeing that talent come forward. And it's exciting, you know, because you've got Tafari and Shade lined up together on the same side. It's exciting to see these two keep basically growing together going forward. So, yeah.
Well, let's shift over to some Ricardo Pepi celebration. What a performance from Pepi. His first hat trick in Major League Soccer. Keep in mind, he had a hat trick in USL League One with North Texas. So, just a historic night as he is now the youngest MLS player by a matter of days to score a hat trick previously held by Kukure Mane. And now there's talk about Serie A and watching him, which you'd have to be an idiot not to watch if you're a European club looking for an up-and-coming goal scorer not to have your eyes on this guy. And let me just tell you, from being there in the stands to watch this game, it was amazing. It was just an amazing performance. And I'll say this, like, it was not like he scored these world-class, you know, from outside the box or whatever, you know, whatever you want to say, these Olympico kinds of goals. They were all just classy, good instincts, don't worry to be staying calm, slotting the ball home. It's just some amazing stuff. So let's talk about Pepi, guys. Ben, talk about Pepi. Talk about this performance from this kid.
Man, you know, our first time I watched him was in the big youth tournament that MLS and Liga MX do together. And in that tournament, you know, one of the younger players, FC Dallas ends up runner up in the tournament and he wins the golden boot, scoring with his head, with either foot off a free kick. And I'm like, okay, so this kid is going to be something. And then he comes in to the U17 season and scores 19 goals in 8 games. And, you know, that was that with the U17 team. He was done with that. And then he just, like, has steadily progressed and gotten to the point where he's on player level he's playing at. And I believe that he has gotten to that point in MLS. You know, right now He's top five in goals, goals per 90. He's second in the league. If you take out penalty kicks, top American scorer. And, you know, all this is, you know, in spite of the fact he hasn't started every game this year, mm-hmm. which, you know, he's young. There's no need to rest him. Starting the rest of the year, I mean, don't take him off the field unless he gets hurt. You know, the team needs him. The team plays better with him on the field, you know. And their starts, they average 2 goals a game and, you know, a point and a half. And, you know, when he doesn't, it's horrible. Like a half a goal a game and less than half a point per game. So, you know. You don't need an advanced analytics team to figure it out.
That's right.
I'm gonna talk up on this this Serie A interest. I mean, we all knew this interest was there before, you know, before the season started. I think it's old news. It'd be foolish to think that there's a crap ton of European teams keeping an eye on him. Honestly, people are like, oh, you know, Dallas might sell him because that's in their nature to sell him, you know, this window. But I think that's ridiculous. I mean, I think honestly, Dallas could honestly hold out for a lot. And the longer he plays in MLS, as long as he keeps scoring, his value is just going to drive up and up. The more teams that inquire, the better. I mean, let's compare. You got DK over in Orlando. They want $20 million for him. He's 21. You could get Pepe at his age and still have 3 years in your system to basically develop him. I'm not saying he's at the same level, but I'm just saying you get DK. Orlando wants $20 million for DK now. He's 21 years old. You got Pepe, who's 18. So if you're a European team and you have issues with the level you think MLS is, you buy him now. You have plenty of time to develop him the way you want him to develop. So honestly, forget $20 million. You know, Dallas should do everything in their power to sign Pepe to a long-term contract, be a DP or just below. Something similar to what they did with Reggie Cannon, where they lock him up for a couple of years with and structure in a way where they're going to have to sell him so Pepe knows he's not going to be stuck here, and let the offers come in and say, hey, we expect to have Pepe here for several years, so if you want him, you need to make it worth our while. You know, it's not ridiculous to say that $20 million is not enough. If you think this kid is a once-a-time generational player, then you should get paid that way for him.
Yeah, so, I hear you.
You know, So forget this. Oh, he's going to Bayern. Forget it. This should be highest bidder. Make it worth our while. And if you're drawing the line at $20 million, it should include a loan for him to finish out the season here in MLS.
Yeah, right.
Something along the line. You really need to put your foot down and stand your ground. And like I said, they should be negotiating with Pepe now, trying to get an extension, trying to get a some sort of deal with him so that other teams can see that Dallas is serious about keeping him. If other teams think you're going to sell, then they're going to lowball you. So right. I would be upset, and I think we would all be upset if Pepe sold this window.
Yeah, he should be. You know, attacking talent is always on a premium, and so he should set a record when it's time for him to go. And so, you know, that raises if a team comes in and says, "Hey, here's 50 mil," you know, I mean, you almost have to say, "Okay," you know. But I think it's a little early yet. You know, there's teams interested, but there's always been teams interested, so we just got to wait and see. And of course, I think it's important to watch his national team picture. He's eligible. He's been playing for the U.S. youth system, but he's eligible to play for Mexico. He dedicated his hat trick to in honor of his grandfather. And so he definitely has a lot of ties and connections. It could go either way. I think some U.S. call-ups would probably help make it easier for him to transition to Europe. So it'll be interesting to see kind of how that plays out. And hopefully Berhalter has him on the sheet the next call-up if he's healthy and able to go. I'd like to see him play for the U.S., but I trust Pepe's going to make the decision he needs to make for himself and his future.
In a situation like this, it comes down to which team is he most likely to play with or play, you know, get playing time. And I know Mexican fans are excited that he may choose them, but let's face it, he's more likely to break into the U.S.'s in minutes wise, because our options at attacking aren't exciting anybody. I mean, let's face it, Mexico has an abundance of attacking options, veteran players that get regular minutes, that they are more likely to play regularly, where the United States is, we're obviously still trying to find our number one guy. I mean, so you jump into that fray at a young age and say, hey, age doesn't matter, just give me a shot to get in there. And I think it'll come down to which team can get can guarantee him the most minutes.
Okay. Well, I don't know much about the Mexico situation. You've got Raul, who came off that horrible head injury. And then you've got another FC Dallas project, Rogelio Funes Mori, who's doing well for Mexico. But, you know, the U.S. has a lot of good strikers, too. I don't think it's necessarily, you know, one path is going to be an easier way for him to get minutes. I will say this. I'm totally serious. I mean, you know, you've got DK, you've got Weah, who can play up top, and then, you know, he's just coming off of winning the, you know, Ligue 1. I think there's a lot of competition with both teams, and I think there's also a lot of uncertainty.
Yeah,
that's fair. I'm just saying I don't have the confidence in our nines in the U.S. like you may have. I mean,
yeah.
Well, I think our nines are inconsistent across the board.
Keep in mind, U-17 World Cup. He's appeared for the U.S. already, so he's going to have to make a switch. I honestly don't think he will, unless it becomes clear he's not going to be able to play.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's young enough that he has time to decide. So I'm sure, like I said, we'd all feel a little bit better if he gets capped soon.
Yeah. I think we're watching and waiting to see all that. Well, let's shift to our next question of the night, and that is just really to talk about this team effort. We saw, as we've already mentioned, great performances from Justin Che, Sebastian Schoen, Ricarte, defense all around, you know, everyone, Quinon, just so many good performances in this game. Just first part of that, what unsung heroes deserve a shout for this performance for once?
Sebastian Schoen?
I read it three ways, different ways. All right, Shabush.
My unsung hero, in a night where everybody, you know, a lot of players stood out, and a player that did not stand out, who I think is an unsung hero, to me, is Quinón, who basically had some incredible passing stats. I think he was like 96% passing back there. I mean, he helped the midfield maintain control, maintain possession. And that's what you want from your six. And I thought, you know, like I said, unsung hero. You're not going to say, oh, he wasn't team of the week. He wasn't our best. He wasn't even our third best player. But he did the little unnoticed things, the things that you want your guys like that to basically be good at is help maintain possession, help maintain control. And that's my unsung hero in a match where I'm saying, you know, there was like five or six players that really stood out, you know, maybe seven players that stood out. So it's not hard to pick an unsung hero, pick one guy that didn't stand out at all, because he was basically sitting back doing the little things that nobody's, you know, going to be clapping about.
Mm-hmm. 51 of 52 passing.
He's come around, hasn't he? I mean, hard to replace a guy like Thiago Santos. And in the way he did, kind of come in into the season a little bit late.
He's a different style six, though. He's not your guy that's going to shut down teams defensively like Santos. But he is a player that looks like he does take risks sometimes. Sometimes, you know, you wonder about those risks, but, you know, he's fearless, and his passing is sensational. Clearly not an attacking player, but as far as, you know, a player that's going to recycle and do the little things, you know, more along the lines of, oh my God, I can't think of his name now. Now he's left us for Germany.
Grezzo.
Yeah, Grezzo, who basically, you know, wasn't a very sexy player in the back, but you just need to count on him.
Mm-hmm,
you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, and Grezzo was good defensively. I haven't seen that level of defense from Quinion, so I'm not saying he's on the level, but I'm just saying it's still, you know, the passing is sensational, and that's what you want. You want, you know, I think we've seen that from Cirillo at some point too, so I'm kind of excited to see Cirillo learn from Keon, you know, learn from him.
Both over 90% passing for the game.
Exactly.
And really, when we can talk about subs too, you know, here you have Cirillo come in, having Tomasi play a role, but Obreon, credit to him too for getting a goal. I know quite a boost for him after a really strong start season and then just sort of falling off the map a little bit.
I was talking to some people who basically pointed out that if the keeper had dived, Obreon would have basically shot it right into his chest. I was looking at the play, and you can actually see Jara is trailing to the left of Obreon. So I think it's a little bit of a mind games there where basically Obreon, I don't know if he gave him a head fake or with the eyes and convinced the keeper that he was going to basically pass it to Jara, because when you look at the keeper, he dove in the direction that Jara was coming
right
from.
Right.
It's clear to see. So I said, I don't know. It's hard to tell, but
he committed before the shot. It is debatable whether that influenced, you know, where he positioned the shot or not.
Well, yeah, I not saying it was. I'm just saying it could have been anything. But you clearly see Jara trailing him on the left with nobody on him, so you could see where the keeper could see two guys coming at him, and it would be, you know, is he gonna shoot it or is he gonna lay it off to the guy on the other side? And I think the keeper just gets wrong, is my guess.
Yeah.
But I'll take it. Hey, I think Obreon's another guy that needs, you know, confidence. And this team just needs confidence. And we got the road games coming up. I want to say one thing on Shun. He basically went out there and he hustled and he loved it. You know, he's not perfect. You know, I think he's 65% passing, which was the worst on the team. But he wasn't. It's not like he wasn't trying things. You know, he's gonna have that kind of passing, but he's trying to make things happen. I'm okay with that. And some of that is also, you know, he's still new to the team. But yeah, I liked it. You know, compared to Vargas, who and players we've had before, with Mosquera, who take time off plays. You know, you didn't see that from Shun. You see a guy that was hustling, and I think next to Ricarte, he had the second most touches of the attacking players out there. So that's what you want to see. He never disappeared, which is my problem with our left wings that we had going back, you know,
yeah,
5 years is that even when we had decent players, they tend to disappear for long stretches of the game. And you didn't see that from Shun, so that's very encouraging.
Good point. Ben, did you have an unsung player?
Basically, Brisson for not screwing up and having a mental brain fart for the first time in 3 games. Yeah. Really, like 4 games. Going back to New England, it seemed like he had one pretty much every game. I guess the Portland game, he did fine.
But I think the guy that's been screwing up is actually Hollingshead, if I'm correct. I mean, Hollingshead in the past couple of days has been screwing up to the point where I would not have been surprised if they sat on this game as, hey, you need to basically cool your roll and get your head straight. So,
No. Hollingshead has not been good the last few games either. But he acquitted himself nicely on Saturday night as well.
Yeah. Active, and it would be fun to go back and look like at the heat map of the game or to really pay attention to moments because, from my vantage point too, especially in the first half, Che was getting really wide and up the field, and Hollingshead was pinching inside. I mean, so I think they had worked on some of their movement and spacing, and it was really, really nice to see because they were able to stretch. Now, some teams, they may not be able to do that as much.
I actually took a look at the heat map, and the heat map, there was a heavy, for FC Dallas, there was heavy possession around where Keon is, like I said, with all his possession, all his passing. Dallas had a concentrated area there. The other area that they had was actually on the left side where Shun is. That's where your biggest activity is. And that goes to show that him and Hollingshead paired well, which is something that I think Hollingshead has been missing with basically not having a reliable left wing option, is he's been forced to basically get forward more and try to pick up the slack, And so that's what excites me is seeing Shun and Hollingshead pairing well, and there was a ton of activity from Dallas on that side of the pitch. And if you look at the heat map, that's where you see all the action is for Dallas, is right where Quinone and Ricarte kicked off the back, and over where Shun and Hollingshead were playing. Going forward, that is.
Mm-hmm. Well, so the second half of my question there is also just if you had to pick one of these players that you think is going to be key. I mean, we obviously know Pepe is going to be key to make the playoff push. Mar, of course, or defense in some way. But maybe there's one of those players in the mix that we haven't been talking about a lot who's going to be really important if this team is going to make the playoffs. And I argue that's Ricarte. I think getting him on the field, we know the guy has class. He has quality. Don't know what this season has been like, if he's just not been fully fit or he's dealing with some issues or just hasn't clicked. But we saw what he can bring with another playmaker who's not so advanced, but a little more of a deep-lying kind of playmaker, but who's able to get forward. But I'm curious what you guys think. Who is that person, maybe among those unsung heroes, that you think is going to be super key to this team making a playoff push?
Go ahead, Ben.
Oh, gosh. I kind of think pretty much all of the midfield at this point is fungible. You can incorporate Acosta for one of the two central mids, and that's fine. If you need to inject O'Brien and sit one of Acosta, or not Acosta, Pomacol, or Shun, that's fine as well. But you lose Jesus Ferreira again for any period of time, things get dicey, I think. If Pepe goes out, I want to move Ferreira in up further and have him lead the line, point blank. But if Ferreira's gone, I don't know what you slot in there and get the same kind of return you get out of another player on the roster. I mean, like, I want to say that Freddie Vargas can show us like he did in the preseason, but I mean, so far it looks like all he's shown us is that maybe he would be better for the Nathan's hot dog eating contest than you know, playing in MLS, unfortunately.
For me, it's Tafari, believe it or not, because we don't know when Matt's going to come back, when Martinez is going to come back, and even if they come back, there's no guarantee that they'll be able to stay healthy, either one of them. So I would say Tafari is the guy that I'm watching, because I'm confident that the attack will get going eventually, but that back line has to keep us in games. And I think had Tafari not had the kind of games he had recently, you'd guarantee there would be Brazan alongside, you know, either Jose or Hedges. But now I'm not so sure. I think now if anyone comes back, you rotate those guys and keep Tafari under and keep his confidence growing. So that for me is as far as unsung. I think Tafari is the guy. He's left, you know, he's grown in leaps and bounds, you know, right alongside Justin Shea too, by the way. But I think we haven't really worried about our back line. When you're worrying about Brazan screwing up and not Tafari screwing up, that tells you how much Tafari is up.
And interesting. And yeah.
It's just that issue that we've had for years since Lloyd, you know, got injured and had to retire, and that we haven't had a center back with that kind of speed and athleticism. Dallas hasn't had that in a long time, so it's great to have a player like that. It solves some issues, you know, a lot of issues, you know. To me, I think he'll be key going forward.
Well, let's close out the show here shortly, but let's talk about Sporting Kansas City. They're sitting number two in the Western Conference, just a couple of points behind Seattle. So obviously they're going to be hungry to get more points and try to take that top spot. But Kansas City has been a fun place for FC Dallas to go and play. We've had some success there in the past. So there's always potential. There's always potential, and it's fun to beat Peter Vermes. It's just fun. What are we feeling about this weekend? Are we going to see a similar lineup? Are we going to see a little? Are we going to see maybe Obreon get a start again? I don't know. You know, what do you guys think? And you think FC Dallas has an opportunity to come away with points?
Man, I do. And honestly, like, unlike your nightmare from the other night, I'm already looking forward to the dream I have on Friday night where Shun, the Hungarian, scores like three goals and just totally, totally makes Vermes pull his hair out. Because the best Hungarian on the field isn't Daniel Shawi, his pet project, but, you know, a guy FC Dallas picked up at kind of random. that would be delicious. I think he's got that kind of game in him, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe shit talking in Hungarian will help pump him up.
I would love for them to just get a point on the road. I mean, we've seen this team has started showing well in the first half of game of a road game, and they just can't seem to carry that into the second half. I mean, we've seen it time and time again in the last three road games. They look solid, you know. They look solid for a half, and then for some reason they just can't maintain it. So I just want to see them basically – I'd be satisfied with a draw just to see them basically carry that good play from the first half into the second half and finish out a game. I'd settle for that. I mean, I'll take a draw. I'll take anything on the road other than a loss. And I think I just want to see these kids continue to grow in confidence. Now they've shown it at home. Now let's start showing it on the road. Let's see them take a step forward on the road.
Mm-hmm. I'm ready to. I think FC Dallas needs every point they can get. And I would be very happy with a draw. I'd love a win, of course, but even to come away with a draw this weekend would be a step forward for this team.
Yeah. I think that's what you want is keep it a drawish game, and then maybe you can steal those 3 points. And I think that's what we haven't seen from Dallas, because they play really good for they stay there in the first half, and then early in the second half they've stumbled and taken themselves out of that possibility.
Yeah.
So it would be nice to see them carry it into the second half and give themselves that chance to walk out of there with 3 points.
And I think there is a chance we could see Matt Hedges potentially, I guess, being available this coming weekend. He could be maybe on the bench or something. I don't know. They sound like he was a couple weeks out. Don't
rush him back. You know?
Yeah.
I'd feel better if Hedges was 100% before you bring him up there. You know? From what we've heard, pretty bad injury. So and it was like a hip injury or something like that.
Fractured hip.
Fractured hip. Yeah, exactly. those don't just go away.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say, I'm okay with them giving him as much time as he needs to get back right. You know, especially mm-hmm. the way Tafari and Hassan have developed a little bit some chemistry in their time playing together.
Well, guys, it's been great. A great show tonight. Well, thanks to everyone for watching and joining in. And I'd just give a personal shout out again to FC Dallas. The family, we were able to be in town, go to the game together, and contactless experience. It was a nice night. It got cooler, and it was just a great performance on the field. And also kudos to our Big D soccer friend, Ryan Scanlon, for buying me a beer. So thanks, Ryan. You're the best. Just great. Now we got free hand towels from I bought a new FC Dallas hat. We got some free AdvoCare stuff. I don't know. They just give out stuff, you know. Great night. The pitch looked great. And I got to even thank Coach Lucci personally on the game call just to say thank him for that.
It looked better than the AT&T pitch.
Yeah. We got United States men team action this week as well against Qatar, mighty Qatar. Gonna be an interesting game too. And Kellen Acosta, give him credit, man. The guy, he's seizing his moment. He sort of fell off the radar, and he is climbing his way back up. That's good. Good for him. Good performances. Yeah, let's leave it there. We could go on and on. Thanks, Jose, as usual. You're awesome. Thanks, Ben. You're great. You're awesome. Enjoy, everybody. We'll see you all next week. Same place, same time. Also, be sure to check out BigDSoccer.com for all your latest news and commentary and whatnot about FC Dallas. All right.
Thanks.
Good night, everybody.
For the kind words.
Yeah.
Good night. Thanks, Luke.
Oh, hey, Luke.